Caroline, Willie D. Mays. Hey, join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Teddy's Tavern this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. for our NFL pregame show. We'll break down the Titans' Week 16 matchup against the Seahawks and give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Beast Unleashed. Preds get the win in Philadelphia 4-2 last night, a bounce back after a 5-2 loss against the Vancouver Canucks earlier this week. And joining us to break it all down is Chris Mason. C. Mace is brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Middle Tennessee's leading Kubota dealer. C. Mace, I kind of want to just deep dive into the mind of a goalie. We saw a not-so-great game from UC Saros earlier this week against Vancouver. He was pulled in the third period, and you saw the frustration. Andrew Burnett even touched on how emotional he was after the game, and then turns around, has the performance that he does last night. Really, what are the goals that went in? There's just truly nothing that you can do about it. So just kind of break that down for me. Maybe where UC Saros' mind was at between those two games and the bounce back that we saw from him from Vancouver to now Philadelphia.
Yeah, exactly. But I have to warn you, Caroline, once you go into the mind of a goalie, there's no turning back.
It might be a dark place. It might be a very, very scary
You're
place.
You ready to go down this rabbit hole?
Yeah, like walking into a haunted house, perhaps.
Yeah. No, but, you know, honestly, especially the difference between guys that are good, every goaltender playing in the National Hockey League has elite skill, you know, and all those types of things. But I think what separates the elite goaltenders, the best in the world, are the guys that are able to have a performance like that and not let it leak into the game after, the shift after they let in a bad goal. They just have an innate ability to be able to, you know, brush off what just happened. And as emotional, you rarely see Saros show any emotion, even in games where things aren't going his way, or he may not be playing his best, or the team in front of him's not, you know, doing the job up to the standard, and you let in a lot of goals. There's obvious frustration there when he slammed his stick after he got pulled in Vancouver. And, you know, the best guys are able to go out there the next game and it doesn't faze him. And early in that game, he lets in that, you know, that fluky goal behind the net. A lot of guys would say, oh my God, here we go again. You know, it's what's going on. I can't do anything right. And then it seeps into the rest of the game and your performance is below the standard. You know, that you expect and that your teammates expect and that you've set for yourself. But Saros is incredible in regard to the way that he can bounce back from those things. It's just the laser focused mentality, and to be able to not hold on to that awful feeling when you let goals on and let that affect your play. I think, like I said, there's very few that I would consider the best goaltenders in the world. Vasilevsky I would put in there, obviously Shesterkin, Ottinger maybe now, and Saros are some of those guys that they hardly have any bouts of inconsistency, especially once you get to that level that he's playing at now. And I thought that was, you know, really impressive, because I was wondering too. I was very interested to see how he bounced back from that one after getting so you know, emotionally upset after getting pulled.
Bring up a inconsistency. I mean, UC Saros has been the face of consistency. Philip Tomasino may be the face of inconsistency throughout this season. There have been bouts where I'm thinking, where is Philip Tomasino? I barely even notice him. Two goals last night, three goals in the last three games. Is this maybe, what have you seen from Philip Tomasino, and is this maybe what we can expect more of moving forward with Philip Tomasino?
I think you're starting to see what he is capable of as a player, as a full-time player in the National Hockey League. I think like any player, I know personally when I was his age, I wouldn't be, you know, I wasn't ready to handle the pressure of, you know, the NHL necessarily, the demands, you know, the microscope that you're under. Once you set a standard, you know, that's expected of you. And once you start playing well, that's what your coach expects every single night. And you've got a lot of things going on. You've got, you know, life coming at you. You're an adult now. You've got responsibilities away from the rink. You're living on your own. There's a lot of things that go into being a young player in a league that has such a high pressure and such a big spotlight on every single thing that you do. And I think that's why there's a lot of inconsistency with younger players. And I think Andrew Burnett's been really effective of using the reset with the guys at the right time. You know, and I think Phil Tomasino got sat out a bunch of games consecutively, worked on his game. He took ownership, I think, which is a mature thing for a young kid, because you can either go and pout and say, oh, I should be, you know, in there for this guy. And, you know, and that's, this guy's not playing well, I was playing better than him, and all those kind of excuse type of things. Or you go out and you make yourself better at practice and ready for your next opportunity. And I thought once he came back in the lineup, he has been consistent. His work ethic looks a lot, he's a lot more determined of a player. And I think once you show yourself consistency and you play the systems, your confidence goes up. And I think we're seeing a confident Phil Tomasino. And, you know, he's a high draft pick, first round pick. He had obviously lit up junior leagues. He had great success in the American League. And I think this is the hardest one to crack right now. And we're starting to see, I think, what he's going to project like as an NHL player.
Now, see, Mace, what did you think of Yakov Trenin's ejection? He went from, having 11 forwards to 10, that could have been detrimental to the Predators last night, but they were able to overcome the ejection. But did you think it was, the play was warranted? The ejection was warranted?
I don't think so. I think anytime, I guess, you know, a player goes down, there's an emphasis right now in the NHL to take those, you know, hits from behind. But I watched it again about five times, because I'm like, I just don't see, you know, an intent to injure somebody. He barely hit him. He was actually stopping, and he just, you know, continued in to make contact. He didn't push forward. It was just a case of a bigger, stronger player, and a player that was, I don't know, I guess he was just, had no idea that Trenin was there. But the fact that, you know, his head hit the glass, I can see, why there was the thought that maybe we should kick him out of the game. Personally, I think it was a 2-minute penalty. Frost was out the next shift, but I understand the gravity of these things. I definitely wouldn't want to be the one making that call as a referee, but they had a lot of indecision too, because they were down there. That review took, it felt like, 5 minutes, and they must have watched that hit 50 times, and you rarely see that. So they wanted to get it right, and I guess in their opinion, that's what they thought. But me personally, I didn't think it was a 5-minute penalty, and I think the both coaches kind of had, from the looks on their face, the same kind of feeling as I did. But that's just me.
Now, what do you think about the Flyers' first goal? We were sitting here talking about that at the beginning of the show, and me as, you know, a infant and watching hockey, I don't think I've ever seen a goal like that, especially not in the NHL. Now, I'm sure there has been, you know, some crazier goals, but man, that one was one of the craziest.
And Mace, I thought about your first game as the Predator, weird plays like that, but maybe you probably flash back to that in your mind when you saw that.
Well, exactly, and like D-Mace was saying, it's so rare when things like that happen. It has to be the perfect storm in order for something like, it gets deflected off Carey's stick. He breaks up the play and hits. I have no idea how it got the elevation off of Frost, if it hit the top of his skate to get that angle. And then Saros, you know, that's hard enough for a goaltender's plays behind the net, because your body's facing forward and your head is obviously looking back, and then you have to, you know, change what side of your body you're looking on depending on where the puck is. And it just went, it was a perfect bounce right up and over in the back of the net. And that's one of the things I mentioned for Caroline's question, is what impressed me about Saros is you want to come out and you perform the best that you can, and all of a sudden something like that happens. Like, you basically have to just shrug your shoulder and say, hey, what am I going to do about that? That's crazy. But yeah, it's rare. It's kind of funny, you know, not when it happens against you. And I guess the old hockey gods, as they call them, they were looking out for Frost on that play. But that was, I don't think that could ever be repeated.
But I'm trying to remember what happened to you in that first game, Mace, but it was something similar. The puck popped up in the air. Everybody lost sight of it, and all of a sudden it landed right behind you.
It was my first NHL start, and I was playing against the Blackhawks, and there was a shot from the point, and our guy went out, and it ramped off of his stick. It went up into the air. Nobody knew where it was. I was doing the same thing. I was retreating on the goal line. Nobody knew where this puck was, and all of a sudden, it must have been like over scoreboard height, came down and landed right behind me in the net. It was like, I couldn't believe it, but it was something like that. Nobody knew where the puck was, and all of a sudden it landed in the net. I'm like, oh my God, this is my first NHL start. Here we go.
Yeah, it's like, of all things to happen in your first game, like, come on, give the guy a break.
Yeah. And we lost 2-1.
That was such a bummer. Yeah.
That's the killer. Yeah. Oh, I was even thinking that, you know, if the Preds lost last night like 4-3, I think that one goal would just be lingering over everyone's heads.
It's crazy. Interesting. We linked the two together. Mace, you were in there. And of course, one of your teammates at the time, Thomas Focun. UC Soros passes Thomas Focun last night. And Thomas Focun, just thinking back on him, he's a pretty special goalie and a great story of expansion, right? He was cast off by the Canadians, and then they had no idea what they had. And then here's Thomas Focun turns into a great goalie for a long time.
Yeah, and I think when the significance of that is, I think back in that day when, you know, the Preds were trying to, you know, forge an identity and turn this into a hockey market, he was kind of the first real, I would say, star that, you know, played here for many, many years. It was a great story. Obviously a big time fan favorite and face of the franchise during his years. And he's a real important player, I think, in the history of the Predators organization and such a big part of the community. And he's just, one of those great stories, just a blue-collar guy that wasn't a high prospect. He came in and he had that, you know, gritty blue-collar attitude like a lot of our team did, a lot of Barry Trotz, and he really resonated with the fans. And not only that, his ability, he won a lot of hockey games on a team that probably shouldn't win a lot of hockey games. And it's pretty cool to see, you know, Soros, depending on, you know, his future, that's a pretty big milestone. And then he's only got one more guy to pass on the list. And I think if he remains a Predator for his career, he's got a good shot at doing that, which is even crazier to think that, somebody could eclipse Pekka. But it's just a testament to Sorrow, but also you get to recognize a Predator great in Thomas Focun.
So, Mace, we're getting close to the halfway point of the season. Not there yet, but all these games have gone by, and the Predators have not played the Stars yet. You're going to see them for the first time. They've played really well. They're one of the top scoring teams in the league, and Mr. Duchesne has really produced for them. I was just telling the story before you came on that we all were watching on the bus where he scores the game-winning goal last night. So pretty nice little dramatic storyline coming in for this first meeting.
Yeah, and I think for Matt Duchesne, I think that's a perfect fit for him. I think, you know, depending on, you know, how long you're with an organization or what your role is with the team in the locker room, you know, it suits guys and fits guys differently. And I think for him going into Dallas, he doesn't have to carry the pressure, or as some players maybe take it as a burden of being, you know, the guy, the leader on the team. Everything, you know, kind of revolves around you, and it's a lot of added pressure, I think. And I think Dallas, he doesn't have to be that. He can go out and play free of that weight. They've got a really good hockey team. They've got it's one of the deepest teams in the National Hockey League. So I just think it really suits, the type of player that he is to be able to go in there and not have to, you know, worry about the burden of, you know, being the older guy, the leader on the team, the one that always has to answer the questions. And it seems to be, to be working out for both the Predators and for Matt Duchesne. So that's good to see.
See, Mace, appreciate you for joining us as always. Enjoy the game tomorrow afternoon, and we'll chat with you next week. And Merry Christmas to you and yours, C-Mace.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Guys, for sure.
Merry
awesome.
Christmas.
Thanks.
Yeah, enjoy time with your family. Thanks, C-Mace. Chris Mason, he is the very best. We'll react to what he had to say coming up next. We'll get right into your phone. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tomorrow for Vanderbilt men's basketball. The Commodores take on Memphis on the road. Tip off at 3 p.m. with pregame beginning at 2:30 p.m. Coverage is also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com.